So welcome, this is CPT 272, Introduction to Virtual Machines. I'm Andrew Hewen. I know a lot of the people who are sitting in class here have had me for one or more of my other classes that I teach here at the community college. If you haven't, hopefully by the end of today, you can kind of get a sense of what I expect from my students, how I do my grading, and everything. As always, if you have any questions or anything comes up, you can always feel free to email me, stop by my office hours, give me a call on my office phone. Unless I'm in my office hours, I'm not usually at my office phone, but you can always leave a message and I'll get back to you as soon as I can with that information. So the way that I work my courses and the way that I do it is I put all of my materials on CM Connect. CM Connect is a great resource for us here. It's the easiest way for me to interact with all my students. It doesn't require outside registration. Everybody who's a student at Central Maine automatically has a login and password for CM Connect. CM Connect allows me to facilitate giving you information, and you can also access all of the information for the class. When I give you quizzes, when I give you papers, you're going to turn in your papers through CM Connect. You'll see when I grade them. I stay on top of my grades so that you can see automatic feedback, get a response. If the class isn't going the way that you expect it to go, if you're not getting the grades that you want, obviously you'll see that. You can come talk to me. We'll get you back up to speed. We'll get you back in. It also allows me to deploy information to you. You can see on our CM Connect page here, under handouts, it has the PowerPoint slides that we'll go over in further classes. Again, today's just a setup class to kind of get everything introduced to you, so we're not going to go over any of these PowerPoints this class. But they're there. When we have installations, when we have assignments, they'll all be available through CM Connect so that we can do that. Also, kind of important for the online class, there's also forums. The forums allow you to communicate with other students that you may not see in person. The forums are also there for the in-class people as well. If you have questions, chances are somebody else has those same questions. If you don't feel comfortable in class asking those questions, you can do so through the forums. There are no stupid questions. We're all learning this. We'll go through it. We'll answer those questions for you. We'll get everybody up to speed. You're in a learning environment. We're at the university. We all have different backgrounds that we're bringing to this. Some of us are core Windows users. Some of us are Mac users. Some of us are Linux users. There's other ones out there that people use, but less frequently. So we need to make sure that we're all on the same page, that we can all discuss things and have a civilized manner. Any questions on any of that? So again, I just handed out in class a copy of the course syllabus. This course syllabus is also available online through CM Connect. If you click on syllabus, it brings it up here. Both documents here, the course syllabus and the grading rubric that I handed out, are available here. If we go into the course syllabus, just going to change it here so that you can read it a little better. Again, I'm Andrew Hewen. This is Introduction to Virtual Machines. In this class, we're going to introduce students to the virtual machine environment. You'll get the opportunity to utilize the main virtualization environment options, create your own virtual networks. We're going to talk about the three main virtualization platforms through the course. I'll also explain kind of why I chose those three main virtualization platforms, and we're not going to talk about a lot of the other ones that are out there, and for good reason. We're going to get exposure to the utilization of virtual machines, virtual networks within the business environment. Again, I came from a business environment where we heavily utilized virtual machines. In Maine, it's kind of a mixed boat. There are some companies that have fully adopted the virtualization platform. There are some companies who are afraid of it and haven't adopted it yet. And as a student, as professionals, you can go out, explain to business owners the advantages that they're going to get by converting their physical environment to a virtual environment, show them the cost savings, show them the operation savings, and do that conversion for them and get financial gain from that, right? Take your skills, bring them out to the marketplace, show them what they're going to gain from it, and you'll gain their respect, you'll gain their money, everything will be great. So the course specifications, those are pretty much the same for every course that we have here. We're going to have 45 hours of class meetings for the in-class sessions. That's 3 hours, 15 times. Makes sense. Outside of class, you're expected to do some reading, some research, etc. As a part of the grading for this course, I'm going to have you write some short papers. The short papers aren't meant to torture you. This isn't an English class. I'm not just having you write papers for the fact of writing papers. I want you to actually go out and look at some websites and gain some information. Find out what's going to work for you. Find out what virtualization infrastructures are the best in your mind. Again, there's three main platforms that we're going to talk about, and every person that you ask is going to give you a different opinion of why their platform is the best. What I want you to do as students is get beyond that opinion. It doesn't matter what somebody thinks. It matters how it works, what it does, and what you're going to gain from it. The best virtualization platform is the one that fits your business model the best. VMware, people tend to go after. VMware is very expensive. Why do people still stick to VMware? VMware was the first to the market. People are comfortable with VMware. People know how VMware works. So if you ask a VMware person what's the best virtualization platform, they're going to tell you VMware. Microsoft Hyper-V came to the market after VMware. It doesn't work the same way VMware does. VMware administrators don't like Hyper-V. Hyper-V is free. Business owners love free. Hyper-V now does a lot of the same functions that VMware implemented. Again, if there's something good, let's steal it, right? So Hyper-V does what VMware does in a different way. It works. People use it. We use it here. It does what we need it to do most of the time. It's great. Citrix Xen is another virtualization platform. Hyper-V users will say they hate Xen or Citrix. VMware users will say they hate Xen, they hate Citrix. The hospitals tend to use Citrix. They like it. It works great. It does exactly what they need it to do. It's fast. Much faster than Hyper-V's VDI solution. So again, depending on your business model, depending on what you're trying to do, the solution is going to come with those business needs. So what's the right answer? What's the best one? There is no right answer. It depends. So through your research, you're going to determine the differences between those operating platforms and some of the decisions that you'll need to make in the hardware to get those platforms to work correctly for you. And again, when I have you write these papers, I don't want you to write these papers as opinion papers. Everybody's got an opinion. I don't care about opinions. I'm a facts. Where are you getting your information from? If you're quoting Joe's website, what authority does Joe have? Right? Is Joe somebody with 30 years of background experience implementing virtualization platforms across the board? Maybe he knows what he's talking about. Is Joe an employee that works for Microsoft? He's definitely going to be biased towards Hyper-V, right? Maybe not. But probably. So just be careful where you're getting your information from. And we'll talk more about that as we talk about the gradings of the papers and how that comes about. So after this course is done, what I want you to be able to do is compare and contrast the three virtualization platforms. There are three different platforms. They do very different things. They work very well in their own environment, doing their own thing. So I want you to be able to compare and contrast them and kind of be able to make decisions based on what I'm presenting to you. I want you to discover how those virtualization platforms are implemented. And what features are unique to each. Again, we're going to have a lot of hands-on exercises in class here. If you're doing it online, it's going to be a different boat. You're going to approach it a different way, but you're still going to have hands-on with some hypervisors and see how they work and what limitations that they have. We're going to review the differences between the design of monolithic and microkernel architectures. Again, we'll get into that more specifically. If you don't know what that means yet, that's okay. We'll get there. But I want you to understand that as well. At the end of the course, you should be able to understand the basic concepts of virtual machines, be able to describe how virtual hosts use resources, manage and configure storage for virtual machines, because that's important, install and configure virtual machines and modern virtual architectures. Again, we're going to focus on three. There's a lot of them out there. Hopefully, by the time we're done this course, you'll realize that if you can do it in one, you can do it in all of them. Again, it's different options, same idea, same principles, that are going to carry over into all of the different ones. We'll talk about setting up failover clustering and migration. We'll talk about why some people choose to do it one way rather than other ways, and the differences in those choices as we get to it. We're going to describe the importance of virtualization in networks today. Why do we talk virtualization? Why is it important? Why are you taking this class? Why are you required to take this class if it's a requirement? Or why you should take this class if it's an option for you? So you'll see I have the topics of instruction outlined here. Again, today is just an introduction. We're going to set up our class for the rest of the semester. We're not really going to go over any of the course material yet. We'll start that next week. Generally, for the first half, it's going to be 2 chapters a day. Again, the reason for that is the book that I chose and how the book presents those topics. Hopefully, we won't go too fast for you. If I do go too fast for you, definitely slow me down. I have a tendency to talk fast. I try to stop occasionally and go, everybody get what's going on, and usually I get a lot of nods. That doesn't necessarily imply that everybody knows what's going on. Chances are, if you don't understand what's going on, there's somebody else in the class that doesn't understand what's going on. So I want you to ask those questions. I want you to bring that up so that we can take the time to cover it thoroughly. You'll notice on March 3rd, we have a review catch-up day. Again, if I don't cover everything that I want to cover in one of these days, that's fine. We can slow down. We have a whole day that we can catch that up. Usually, again, what happens in the classes is we do get through the material, so the review day becomes optional. If you want to come, that's great. We can talk things. We can go over some of the in-class stuff that we've done so that you can catch up on those assignments. We can talk about anything that you're having trouble with or having trouble understanding. Again, most of the time, I get one or two students that are here for 10 minutes, and then we call it a day. We'll take that as it comes. March 10th, midterm exam. The midterm exam is going to cover the chapters 1 through 9 of the book. Again, everything that we've covered to that point. In-class exam, you get 2 hours, open book, open notes, open PowerPoints, just no collaboration. Again, I expect you to do your own test. Usually goes pretty well. Again, I give you 2 hours to do the test. That's where the limiting factor comes in. You won't have enough time to look up all the answers. So you need to understand the material thoroughly enough of where you can go in the section in the book to look up your answers if that's what you're going to do. Hopefully, by the time we get to the midterm, you'll know most of the stuff right off the bat anyway. March 17th is a holiday. Notice I had the midterm right before the holiday. That way you guys can enjoy your holiday or work on all your other classes who don't let you do that. Either way. When we come back, usually it's down to one chapter a week. Again, the material gets a little bit harder, more complex, so we slow down a little bit, and we'll go through that. Again, we have a review catch-up day right before the final, so again, we can take that time if we need to slow down or go through the material. Any questions on any of that? Again, I follow the book. I pick the book. I want you to use the book. The chapters go with the book. So you can get that. The class requirements, again, require that you come participate. I don't want you to just sit and zone out, play video games in the back, and then leave when we start to do our hands-on assignments. It's not going to work out well for you if you do that. If you don't find that your time is valuable being here, don't be here. There's an online version of this class that doesn't require you be present, right? Do that. I understand we're all different learners. Some people have mastered this material already and are just taking it because it's required. That's fine. But don't waste your time coming to a class that you don't want to be in, right? There's other people here who want to learn. There's other people here who are getting that material, I want them to be able to get that material in a distraction-free environment. Assignments, again, when we go to our hands-on exercises, I encourage everybody to kind of work together. What I don't want is a photostatic copy of somebody's assignment passed in three times, right? I want you to do your own work. That's the way that you're going to learn. You've paid to be in these classes. You're paying to learn this material. I want you to take the time to learn the material. Does that mean I don't want you to work with somebody else? No, of course not. When you get into the business environment and you're doing this stuff for real, do you sit in a cubicle and aren't allowed to talk to anybody? No. You're going to talk to your coworkers. You're going to ask questions. You're going to get different input and kind of work things out as a team. So it's important that you do that in a classroom environment as well. Again, all the due dates are going to be on CM Connect. We're going to cover one or two chapters a day for the first half, so you'll have quizzes on those chapters just to kind of make sure you learn that material. And we'll get into grading in a minute here. Exams and quizzes are there to test your knowledge and ability. Again, I don't want you taking your quiz for somebody else. I don't want you taking the quiz and handing the answers to somebody else. Certainly, you can talk about the quizzes amongst each other, discuss answers. If you do happen to find an incorrect answer in the quiz, please let me know. It happens. Cut, copy, paste error. Intellectual error. Sometimes I ask a question and people don't understand what I'm asking. So there could be an interpretation issue going on. Make sure that you ask questions if you get it wrong and you don't understand it. Again, for the exam, I expect you to take it on your own, no discussions. Everybody takes it all at the same time, so it kind of mitigates some of those consequences there. If you happen to miss an exam, let me know as soon as you can that you're not going to be there so that we can get that taken care of, get that addressed. I don't like giving zeros. I want you to have credit. So in terms of grading for the class, again, I'm going to have you do some short research papers. So I passed out as a part of the syllabus a grading rubric as well. Part of the grading rubric says that as a part of the short paper, you should have 2 to 3 resources. The page should be 1 to 2 pages of typed text in a size 12 font. Includes discipline-appropriate citations. Again, I don't care what citation format you use. Here at CMCC, they promote APA and MLA. Those are fine. If you don't understand citations or how to do those citations, there is a writing center downstairs. You can make some time. They can help you do that. There's also a lot of online resources. If you need some help finding some of those online resources for citations, let me know. Again, it's not an English class, but I do want to make sure that you're citing intellectual properly, appropriately. If it didn't come from your head, it had to have come from somewhere else. And if you don't cite those sources, that is plagiarism. Plagiarism can get you to fail the course and also get you kicked out of the college. I don't want that to happen. Please don't do that. So always cite your sources. Also, I don't want opinions. So if you don't cite any sources, you're just giving me your opinion. You guys aren't virtualization experts. If you were virtualization experts, you wouldn't be in my class. Right? Is that fair assessment? So we'll have 10 of those short papers. They're each worth 20 points. So it's 20% of your grade or 200 points. There's an online weekly quiz. So again, 10 quizzes, 40 points each. Counts for 40% of the grade. The way that I do my online quizzes, you take it, you don't like the grade, take it again. Don't like the grade, take it again. Take it until you get the grade that you want. The questions come from a test bank. You'll see different questions each time you take the quiz. Eventually, you'll exhaust the quiz bank, so you'll see all the questions and all the answers. So there's no reason you should not get an A if that is what you want. I've seen people hand in quizzes and get 30s. It doesn't make sense to me. Don't do that. Take it until you get the grade that you want. Again, we'll have a midterm examination that's going to cover 1 through 6. Be worth 100 points, 10% of the grade. There's also a midterm paper. The midterm paper is a little bit longer than the short papers, but the idea of the midterm paper is that I'm going to take all the short papers that you've written to that point and kind of pull that knowledge in together. So if you've gone through the process of doing all of your short papers, you've gone and you've found all of those citations and resources, it's going to be really easy, right? You're just going to pull all that knowledge in and be able to write a paper. All the work's going to be done. Cut, copy, paste, yes. As long as it's your own work, I don't care. So that's what that is. The final exam is going to be comprehensive, so that's over the entire book. And try to make it so about half the stuff comes from the midterm, half the stuff comes after the midterm, to be fair. Again, that's 100 points, 10% of the grade. There's also a final paper. The final paper we'll go over more in detail as we get closer to that. That's a little bit different than the short papers that we've written. Different kind of idea to give you different experience. Any questions on the grading or anything like that?
Are we allowed to take, are the examinations like a, just a regular midterm setup, or can we take those again?
So it's just a single time that you can take the midterm and the final.
It's just
Yep, so the quizzes, again, learning experience, you can take them as many times as you want. Midterm and final, one time, that's it.
Okay.
And again, if you look at the weighting, 10%.
Yeah.
And again, if you've gone through all the quizzes, you've aced all the quizzes, chances are you're going to do pretty well in the midterm and the final. I try to keep the question formats the same. I tend to ask questions that are similar. Sometimes I'll reword a same question. If I go in and I see everybody's gotten a single question wrong, sometimes I ask that question. Everybody's gotten this wrong once. Let's ask this question again. 50% chance they get it wrong in the final, right? So people tend to pick the same guesses over and over and over again. Don't guess, no. So the computer technology department has a specific grading policy that I'm required to follow. This is pretty standard for any CPT class that you've taken to this point. 95 is an A, 93 is an A minus, 87 is a B plus, etc. So that's there. The textbook for this class is Virtualization is Essentials by Matthew Portney. It looks like this. Again, it's a cheaper book. My issue with this book is that it doesn't go in depth enough for my purposes. So I'm going to add a lot as we go throughout the chapters. But it's the best book for what it is. There's a lot of well-written books out there that focus on a single virtualization environment, but there's very few books that take that high approach of all the virtualization environments. So I can go out and I can buy an awesome book for Hyper-V. I can go out and buy an awesome book for VMware. I could probably go out and buy an awesome book for Citrix, although I haven't found one. But trying to find a book that encompasses the virtualization platform in general and takes a high-level approach is hard. Even this author, as you're reading through, is kind of biased. You'll see he utilizes VMware Player. So you're doing a lot of things within VMware. And that's okay because you have to pick something at some point. But a lot of the chapters do take that high-level approach. And again, my only qualm with it is that it doesn't get in-depth enough for our purposes. So hopefully through our lectures here, through our discussions, through your research papers, we'll fill in some of those blanks and you'll get a good understanding of what's going on by the end. If you're a student with a documented disability and you plan to request an academic or other accommodation, you have to register as soon as possible with the Disabilities Coordinator, Jen Lyons. Her phone number and her email address is here. That's if you need extra time on the test. Again, I said it's a two-hour time limit. If you need extra time and you have a documented disability, you can get that through her. If you need to have a quiet room with nobody else in the room with you, we can do that as well. And it all has to be documented for me to give you those special accommodations. And if you require one of those accommodations, please let me know before the test. It's really hard for me to do things as we're sitting down to take the test. But if you let me know beforehand, I can definitely make sure that you have a quiet place to take your test and get things done. Central Maine Community College is an equal opportunity, affirmative action institution and employer. If you have any questions about that, the phone number's there as well. Pretty straightforward. Again, Central Maine Community College requires all students to adhere to the high academic standards of integrity in their academic work. Cheating on exams, plagiarizing, work with others is not acceptable. And again, can lead up to dismissal from the college or failing an exam or even the course. So please don't do it. Again, as you're writing your papers, make sure you cite your sources. Make sure you're choosing sources that are academically valid. Wikipedia is not a good source to cite. If you use Wikipedia as a source, go to the bottom of the Wikipedia page and find where they're referencing their material from. Hopefully it will lead you to some academic sources there. My office hours here are at the bottom. Again, my email address, that's the easiest way to reach me. I try to respond to emails as soon as possible. Sometimes it's very quick. Sometimes it takes a little bit, depending on the complexity of your question. If I have to be at a computer, it takes me longer to answer your question than if I can do it while I'm on the road. I have a bad habit of checking my email all too frequently. So, my phone number's here again. Phone number probably not the best way to reach me. Email address tends to be the easiest way to reach me. That'll only ring in my office. I'll only be there if I'm in my office. My office is Jalbert Hall, 519. Just down the hall, so most of you should know where that is. If you don't, come see me, I'll show you where it is. My office hour, Wednesday 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., Thursday 2 p.m. to 3 p.m., so the Thursday is right after we get out of class here. I try to do that so that it's centered around class time. Or by appointment. So this semester I happen to have a lot of time that I can be in my office. But I don't schedule that time to be in my office. So if you need to make an appointment that doesn't fit into these times, usually I can accommodate that. Again, just email me and we can set up a time to meet and discuss things. Again, a lot of the things that I discuss can be discussed via email as well. But if you prefer face-to-face contact, certainly I'll be available for that as well. Any questions on any of that? Pretty straightforward.